River Valley, hope you are doing well. Logan come at you solo today. Pastor Kirk is out of office today, but him and me, along with many of our pastors, as you probably saw from our email that we sent on Monday night, we're at the Capitol. And so I will share kind of a play-by-play of what it looked like at the Capitol and just an update for you and how this relates to us. I know, again, Pastor Rob's email clarified most of it, but I do think there are some follow-up questions that people have, how this relates to us, so we'll get to that in a moment. Also, we'll be praying at the end for some people from our city campus. Shout out to City. And just want to remind you, if you are not aware, Easter is this weekend. We have Good Friday services on, you guessed it, Friday, and Easter services happening Saturday night and Sunday morning across our campuses. We have dozens of service times, and we're excited for this weekend. And Easter, I know Kirk and I have talked about it already, but Easter is the time where your neighbors, where your family, where your friends are more likely than ever to say yes to coming to church. So there's a couple days until then, and we want you to invite somebody. Maybe you've been asking them and you're waiting for verification, or you are just hoping that you don't have to run into someone at work and say, oh, I just don't want to invite someone. Would you pray and say, God, who is the person you want me to invite? Is that that neighbor? Is it somebody I've already invited that I need to remind them? Do I need to go pick them up and say, I will drive you there, or I will buy you lunch afterwards? I want you to be at church. And the reason for that is because they get to receive the message of hope, which is Jesus Christ. He is alive. And he's no longer dead. He's alive. He's our living God. And it's an amazing, amazing weekend for that. We will see probably upwards of 20,000 people across all of our campuses. And it's just our favorite time of year. So we'll be with you at whatever service you come to, whatever campus you go to. We're excited for it. But just want to remind you, who is that person in your life that you need to invite? Make sure this is your reminder. This is your nudge that you've been maybe wishing didn't happen, but you're glad that it did, so you can invite them. Easter weekend, we'll see you there. With that, I do want to share on, there's a couple questions that were asked. I want to get to a couple quick hit questions, and then I will share an update from the Capitol. And one of the questions McKenna asked, why/where is the divide amongst Pentecostals about the rapture? So, depending on where you sit, maybe you think the solar eclipse that is coming up here in April is a sign of the end times, or maybe you would say that that has nothing to do with it, and all it is the moon passing over the sun. Rather than dive into the deep, the word is eschatological, the end times, the study of the end times details. I think I would reference to, do your own research. Most Assemblies of God ministers would align in what's called premillennial, which means before the millennial reign of Christ that we see in Revelation, that there will be a first rapture of the saints or of those who are believers, and then the final second coming again, to where the whole church rises up, and that's where New Jerusalem happens. You have a mid-tribulation that would say, in the middle of the trial and tribulation, you are going to be taken up, and then you have post-tribulation that say after the tribulation, after the trials, then you are taken up, and there's only one coming. I would say, I've studied this quite a bit, there's some debate among this. In the AG, there's not as much, but I don't know. And I feel like I change my tune on this every once in a while. I do probably align more with the premillennial position, but as I get older, there's a lot of people that say you're crazy because of that. So I don't put too much emphasis on that. What I do know is I do believe that Jesus is coming back for his church, as he says in his word. I do believe that it will come, as he says, like a thief in the night, like he talks about with the story, the parable of the virgins who have their lamps and some do not have their oil ready. So I think the message for us, without, again, if we had deep theological discussions about this, which maybe we will in the future, we could go down a lot of different rabbit trails, but for the sake of this podcast, I think it's fair to say, let's be ready. Let's consistently believe that Jesus is coming back soon. And what soon means is up to God and not up to us. And if you want a little bit more deep dive on that, you can go listen to the Talking Church podcast that I did on Revelation with Dr. Phil Mayo that came out about, about a month ago. It's called Understanding Revelation. We talk a little bit about that topic, but really just Revelation as a whole. Allie asked a question. She said, our small group is wondering what the process is for River Valley to choose which organizations they support through Kingdom Builders. Is there a list of criteria who ultimately decides who supports Kingdom Builders? I am going to point you to the podcast that we did on March 7th, which is titled Hiring and Firing Kingdom Builders List and Not Agreeing with Certain Worship Lyrics. In the second or the middle part of that, the Kingdom Builders List, I actually answer that specific question on how we choose and what criteria. So it's actually already been answered, but you can go to that from a few weeks ago. And there's a team of people that decides on that. But getting to the capital, as Pastor Rob alluded to in his sermon this weekend, as we finish up our Made for Monday series, talking about workaholics and how do we know if we are a workaholic? How do we know if we're working too hard? How do we know if we're just a hard worker? There's a lot of things that he shared on that I thought were so good. And he embodied that as a pastor, but he is a very hard worker. He worked very hard. He wasn't at every single one of my sports practices, but he always said, I'll make the big ones, but I'm not going to make every single one because my world does not revolve around your six-year-old t-ball game, but I'm also not going to be the person that never shows up to anything. And my mom was actually very clear with him, and I don't know that he shared this in the message, but she's like, no, you will be home for dinner with our family every night of the week if you can help it. And so about four or five nights during the midweek, he was actually home, and then we ate right at 5 o'clock, so he would leave work a little bit early, and then afterwards he would have meetings and, you know, there's alpha going on, there's freedom going on. So she made sure that he got home for dinner, even if he wasn't going to be home that night. And so I think that is a good reminder that you can find those flex points in there. But he alluded at the beginning of the message that he was going to the Capitol on Monday and that some of our pastors were going to join. I had the chance to join along with many of our team. And we were there. First, there was a press conference with Representative Niska from, I believe he's from Ramsey, and then the House Minority Leader, Lisa DeMuth, I think is how you pronounce it. And she's the Republican Minority Leader that did a press conference just talking about this religious exemption. And as Pastor Rob shared in his email on Monday, this law in 2023, and I know I sprung it on people last week in the podcast, I just kind of read it and didn't give context, so this is why I'm doing it now. But this law was passed, the Human Rights Act, that added gender identity as a protected class in hiring that says you cannot discriminate against those who have identified themselves with a gender that is maybe not the traditional sense or that's different than their biological sex. Most would say that they're transgender, but obviously there's a lot of different language around this, gender fluidity, things like that. So it broadens the protections for hiring practices. What's ironic about this, which is I think the most ironic thing in the whole thing, is in the current Human Rights Act, religious exemptions are in place for those with different sexual orientations, meaning if they are homosexual, there are religious exemptions in the Minnesota Human Rights Act that says you do not have to hire them based upon your religious beliefs because that conflicts with your religious beliefs. But in this case, those who are advocates of not putting an amendment for this exemption related to gender identity say you cannot discriminate based upon someone's gender identity. So it's interesting to me that they, and again, the language that I'm using is not the professional language, but they're saying you can discriminate against someone who's gay but you can't discriminate against someone who's trans. It just seems a little odd and weird. And so I think that's the point where the leadership is saying, what is going on here? Why does this make sense? And I think the argument would be, if I can represent it in a way that at least makes sense from what the other side is saying, is they're saying that's has nothing to do with their actual beliefs. It's who they are, right? It's their identity. And of course, we believe as a church that all are created in the image of God, no matter how they identify, no matter what they think about themselves, whether they view themselves highly, they view themselves negatively. We believe everyone's made in the image of God, but we do not believe that our biological sex and our gender are on different binaries. And I think that there's, you know, Kirk and I have talked about this a little bit before, but I think there is a, you know, the idea of a gender spectrum to me is a scientific, it's a view of science that is pushing the envelope for an agenda. But I do think there is some validity to the way we express ourselves. And again, Kirk and I talked about that probably 4 or 5 months ago, but how our gender roles, there are tomboys, girls that maybe have interests that are more related to things that more traditionally men are interested in, or guys that are interested in things that are more traditionally things that women are interested in. And I think those things should not be considered as, oh, that means you are a man or that means you are a woman. I think what it does mean is that God created us all uniquely, and we have different interests and skills and desires and friend groups and all sorts of things that are embodiment of the creation that God has for us. But that doesn't mean that we should change our identification based upon how God made us. And especially that doesn't mean we should change our physical or our external, you know, sexual identification or expression through surgery or fill in the blank. And I think the point where you're starting to see some people get angry, and even many people have mentioned, wow, like Pastor Rob kind of got riled up about this one. And obviously he's interested in what's going on politically, particularly in the areas of abortion, as well as things that affect our children. And so we obviously want to be paying attention. Whenever it's affecting our children, we want to be paying attention about it, because we believe that children are the most vulnerable people, and we want to make sure that we are honoring them. Jesus cares for children in a way that we don't even know, but we want to do our best to love people like Jesus would and love children like Jesus would as well, and think that some of these decisions that are happening are, you know, I don't want to say ruin the life, because that sounds wrong, but I do think that there's a reality to using that word is strong enough, but make it a very difficult life for some decisions that they didn't know they were making at a very young age. And we see that that's only become more and more common. But when, as far as the actual events of the Capitol, to reiterate what it said, Kara Levin actually did a very good article about it that I thought was just fair of what happened as being someone who was there. But there was a presser that Representative Niska and a couple other legislators had led, basically saying, hey, we're going to call for urgency on this bill, which, if you're unfamiliar with what urgency means, it's a political practice that you can basically say, hey, this is an urgent matter to the public. We need to rediscuss this, or we need to bring this forward outside of our agenda. Unfortunately, which this was expected, but unfortunately, when you have the minority in the votes, it usually doesn't get passed because they didn't have enough votes to pass it. So the Republicans and Democrats voted on party lines, and the Democrats had the majority. So they said, nope, we're going to table this discussion. We're not going to bring up this amendment again. And so one of the legislators said, we have plenty of time to discuss this in this legislative session. But another one of the legislators said, the time for discussion has already passed, and that was last year. And so we aren't going to discuss this anymore. There's no reason to, because the law is in place. And for them, they'd say, we don't want the law changed. So I think the right next question is, so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us today? I think there's many people that have said, well, we will defy this because it infringes on our First Amendment right to practice freedom of religion. And more of what I'm hearing is that the Minnesota Democrats are trying to discern and figure out, what is this going to mean from a consequence Is this going to actually rile up a voter base? Are they going to push against this? The truth is, no situation that I'm aware of, or at least as of Monday that anyone was aware of, has been challenged. There's been some rumors that there are some people that are starting to apply at places just to challenge this law specifically, but nothing will change per se until somebody is denied their right to be on a staff of either a church, a mosque, a synagogue, or a religious school because of their gender identity. And once that happens, if they file a lawsuit, a discrimination lawsuit, appealing to the Human Rights Act, then the expectation is that there will be a lawsuit, in a counter lawsuit, that says this lawsuit infringes upon the First Amendment rights of my religious freedoms. And so the legislators in Minnesota have expressed their commitment that they don't want it to get to that point, that they want to change this law to, again, going back to that there are religious exemptions related to orientation of attraction, but there are not in terms of identity. So it's just, again, it is a bit odd in terms of the logic on this, but that they would add this religious exemption back so that we can be in alignment with our First Amendment rights. And then secondly, if that doesn't happen, I know that there are people that are prepared to follow this up so that it goes up to higher courts. Those people obviously know more than I do about the legal side of things, but of course, my opinion would be that you would think that it does infringe upon that, but our world is changing quite consistently, and definitions have changed and things have changed. So I really did want to take this time to share what that process looked like. You know, many of us were able to be in the chamber at the time of that interaction where Representative Niska called for urgency and then immediately was prompted to vote for this conversation, which again was nullified, and now it's kicked to after Easter. And again, depending on who you listen to, it's kicked till later on after that. So hopefully this was helpful for you to get a little bit of context. We're happy to answer questions on it, so you can reach out to us on Instagram, either the River Valley MN Instagram or Kirk or me. You can send us a DM if you're saying, I still don't understand what this means. I still have further clarifying questions. Hopefully we can be a resource to you, but I hope this answered a lot of them. And when Kirk is back next week, he may have some more thoughts to share as well on this. But I do want to close us in prayer. I know it's a little bit shorter episode, but close in prayer as well as a song. But I just want to read some names of families from our city campus who we are praying for, and just believing that God would intervene in your life, as well as I want you after this, maybe during the song and the reflection, to say, God, I want to say a prayer for the person that I'm going to invite to Easter. I'm going to say a prayer for that friend, that family member. Maybe they don't even live in the city, and you say, I invited them to attend a church, or I'm praying that somebody would invite my family member who lives far away. Maybe you could be that person for someone else's family member, and someone else could be that person for your family member, just like many have seen before. And so I'm reading this list from our city campus. We are praying for, this one is, the very first one is a long name, so I don't even know that I can pronounce it, but it's got to be 17 letters. Shaq Schneider. It actually isn't that hard, but it's 17 letters. The Hermansons, Georges, Rodriguez, Mathisons, Hackenmuellers, Lorena, Morin, McAllisters, Moreno's, Davids, Missners, Caldwells, Adigans, Robinsons, Cows, Schmitz, Hortons, Manabox, Heidkamps, Origi. There are many other people that we are praying for, but these are just a few. And there's been lots of requests that have come in praying for people who are dealing with cancer, praying for people who would see a miracle in lives. Someone else said, I'm broken. I feel your love in this church. Thank you for carrying me now. I'm trying to clean up my life. It's a slow process, but I'm trying to clean up my life. Someone else said, praying for my friend Austin that he'd be free from mental illness and addiction. Someone else praying for my sister and her pregnancy. Praying for full healing from an eye disease that I have. Someone else says, praying for someone else who needs to be delivered from the manipulation of the enemy, deception, demonic influences, sexual addictions, alcohol. They're really struggling, praying the Holy Spirit would get into her life, would convict her, and for genuine believers to come across her path who can communicate the gospel to her so that she can repent. Someone else says, I'm truly stressed out, Just found out my property manager sent me an eviction notice, and we never knew that we got it. So my wife and I had to take work off a few months to help our daughter, and now we are paying for helping our child who is in the hospital. I've lost hope and I'm in a dark place right now. God, I'm praying for peace in that situation and for a way to be made. In Jesus' name, someone else said, I had a passenger pass away on my flight last night and I'm shaken up. Please pray for my crew and the passenger who passed away as well as his family. Wow, that's just a reminder. Life is a vapor. Praying for this pilot or flight attendant and that they would just feel the peace. Obviously, it's a crazy situation. A couple more. Pray that I'd have self-control. I need it. Amen. Amen. And lastly, we pray for all those who are attending Easter this weekend, that those who do not know Jesus, that they would experience your love, your mercy, and your goodness. So Lord, we pray for every one of these needs. We pray that you would just guide everyone that is listening to think about, God, who is it that I need to bring? What is it that I need to do? What are the prayers I need to pray for? Who I need to pray for, God? I pray for every one of these needs that I read, everyone that I didn't read, all those that were written down, the hundreds of needs that were written down across our campuses. God, you know every single one of them. And we just pray that you would meet needs, that you would intervene, that there'd be people healed, that there'd be mental health restored, that there'd be peace given, God. And Lord, we just pray all of these requests in your mighty name, the name that you're good on your word, the name above all names, the name of Jesus, the God who is alive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on weekends. We're sharing it in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at River Valley MN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.